parrots can dance, hummingbirds are competitive, and starlings are amazing acrobats. The skies are filled with remarkable things to discover. Coming up, a birding enthusiast shares a few surprises he's learned from observing bird species all around the world. We'll also check in with listeners to hear where you want to travel as we patiently wait for the world to open up safely again. Let's start this hour of Travel with Rick Steves admiring the painters of the Dutch Golden Age and the visual record they left us of their life and times. Instead of being paid to glorify the church and nobility like so much of Europe, the art in the Low Countries was paid for by the wealth of the Protestant merchant class. Our guides are Nico Favareel, who lives near Bruges in West Flanders, and Jody van Engelsdorp, and she lives in Haarlem in North Holland. Nico, Jody, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So from your perspective as a guide in the Netherlands, how do you see that divide in the art world?
Well, of course, it's a lot about the culture of a country. And like you said, our culture is all about the Protestants, and we had the Reformation, and that really created a big difference between some art in other countries and in us. So we have very basic churches. They're all stripped down from all their statues, but also our masterpieces. We rarely see any Christian themes, but we always have the merchants, and because we had a Dutch Republic very soon after. Yeah, so that is...
So if you see a Rembrandt, if it's a biblical theme, it'll be from the Bible, but it won't be from some pope or something like that.
Yes.
If you think about, you mentioned the Reformation, you have a huge church on the main square in Haarlem that was a Catholic church, and it was completely painted. All the pillars were painted and everything. Now when you go in...
Yeah, it's all washed away.
Whitewashed.
Yes, whitewashed, yeah. So when the Reformation came, we had iconoclast where all the Protestants took it down, and then the art was all gone. And how do you recognize what the Protestants really brought into the churches was music, and that is how they really lift up those churches. So in Haarlem, you have this giant organ, which has more than 5,000 pipes, and you can still go in and listen to it every Thursday in the summer periods. Then you have a concert for free that you can visit, and then you can hear this organ play, and you can just imagine how old organists would come. So a 10-year-old Mozart also played in this. Hmm. So it's a very different experience, and it's very beautiful.
So maybe 400 or 500 years ago, it was Catholic, and then we have the Reformation, it becomes Protestant. Protestants come in there, and they were kind of mean, or not mean,
yes,
but they were very extreme. And
yes,
they threw out all the statues, they busted a lot of the windows, they painted everything white, and then they put up this amazing organ that goes, it's as tall as the building. It goes way to the top of those arches.
Yeah, it's wild.
It is wild. And that's something that when you know the story behind it, it makes a little more sense. And when you have a good information, you know every Thursday, there's a free concert. Nico, when you think about the great Dutch painters, who comes to mind?
Of course, you think about people like Rembrandt, Frans Hals, Vermeer. Mm. My personal is Jan Steen.
Why do you like Jan Steen?
Because he has these scenes of just people having fun at home. And it's sometimes a bit double if what he wants to say with paintings.
Is so it a double warning? Meaning, huh?
Yeah, is it the warning that you shouldn't be so joyful, maybe, in life? But they're just fun to watch because there's a...
So there's a lot of folk wisdom.
Yes.
It's like, don't be wasteful. Or if you gossip, bad things will happen. Or there's all these little lessons about life, but not really preaching from the church.
No, but you could interpret it that way. And people could hang it in their houses and say, this is what we shouldn't be doing.
Right.
But I look at them as, oh, okay, they're having fun. You know?
To me, it's a little intimate look at life 400 years ago or whenever Jan Steen was painting. But that's a good name to know, Jan Steen.
Steen. Yes.
Now these are, when I go to a gallery in the Netherlands, I see a lot of small paintings by a lot of people whose names I don't know, rather than a few big paintings by people who are superstars and highly paid. Mm-hmm. And you got to think, it's a different sort of clientele. If you're painting for a king or some bishop, you can paint something big and really expensive. But in the Netherlands, when they got rid of the king and they got rid of the pope, they got to have the open market business people for their clientele, and it needs to be affordable.
Mm-hmm.
So you have small, unpreachy art. or not?
Actually, definitely. But like you said, it would be anonymous or from the same workshop or
right.
That's what you would read.
You see the values of the day there. I mean, above the dining room table, you might have a still life.
Yes, still lifes is not a personal favorite, but that's something that you will find a lot.
What would you see in a still life typically?
Fruits, baskets, fish, because it's the Netherlands, so they would have a lot of fish in there as well, easy to catch.
Belgian tour guide Nico Favoriel and Jody van Engelsdorp from the Netherlands are helping us better appreciate the breakthrough art of the Dutch Golden Age right now on Travel with Rick Steves.
Jody, when you go to an art gallery in the Netherlands, what artists do you enjoy most?
I love Frans Hals, and I am biased because I am from Haarlem, and Frans Hals is from Haarlem. Well, originally he is Flemish, so, but then he came to Haarlem with the Reformation, and that brought all this amazing Dutch artists to us. He's very much appreciated these days because a lot of Impressionists are very much inspired by him because he is able to, with one brushstroke, to create this image of like sleeves or wild colors. And yeah, he's very lively.
So if you look really close, Frans Hals did not want you to look so close because it looks like sloppy brushstrokes. But when you step farther away, it's just lively.
Yes, it's beautiful. And he's not afraid to show emotions, where in those days, a lot of times people were portrayed separately from each other. And he has, my favorite painting is, where they're together, like this married couple. It's beautiful.
And you see the love and the loyalty there. And you see symbolism of their wealth.
The symbolism is great.
And also when we think of Frans Hals, the painter that you're talking about, that's Mr. Dutch Masters, isn't it? I mean, when we think of the famous Dutch Masters, what is that general scene when you look at the, quote, Dutch Masters? What are we looking at?
A lot of times we are looking at the merchants.
Mm-hmm.
So the Dutch Masters, you're looking at the time that we were having the Golden Age. So it's just after the Reformation when we became a republic.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't see kings or anything. You see the people.
So these were the leaders of this society, really.
Merchants, yeah. Right. And the merchants, we were colonizing the world as well. So that is also what you see, is the richness from these colonies that we had.
This was the same time as the Dutch East India Company and Henry Hudson, and when New York was called New Amsterdam.
Yes.
So this is a big time for the Netherlands, and you had a lot of money.
Yeah, everybody wanted to have a painting in their house. People who had money, and they wanted to see themselves and their lives.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with tour guides Jody van Engelsdorp and Nico Favoriel from the Netherlands, the Low Countries, Flanders, a place where art really has its own style. There's so much great Dutch and Flemish art, and if we go forward a couple of centuries, we've come to a beloved Dutch painter, and a lot of Americans can't even pronounce his name. Nico, who would we be thinking about?
I assume you're talking about Van Gogh.
Yeah, Vincent.
Vincent van Gogh.
Gogh.
Yeah.
If I say Vincent van Gogh, it must sound terrible to you.
Oh, well, we're used to it, so
it
doesn't really...
Van Gogh.
But Van Gogh is, of course...
Why is he so beloved?
I think the colors, the emotion that you see in the paintings, the history behind the man. There's been movies about him, documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
His paintings reflect also sadness and tragedy, yet they're very colorful.
Mm. He was sort of groundbreaking in his brushwork too.
He is. He wasn't liked at the time that he was painting.
I don't think anybody ever paid for one of his paintings when he was alive.
I think he sold
one painting.
Painting.
And then somebody found it's incredible how popular he is now compared to how underappreciated he was in his lifetime. Jody, if you want to see Van Gogh in the Netherlands, where do you go?
So you could go to the Van Gogh Museum, of course, in Amsterdam, which is a great museum because you can see how his art progressed throughout his life. But if you want to see some of his better pieces, you can go to the Krüller-Müller Museum, which is close to Arnhem and also located in a really beautiful nature park.
That's a beautiful way to connect the Dutch nature and the great Dutch artist Van Gogh.
Yes, it's really fun. And
the Krüller-Müller Museum.
Yes.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking with Jody van Engelsdorp and Nico Favoriel. And let's just finish with each of you sharing your famous piece of Dutch or Flemish art. Nico, what's your favorite and why?
I'm actually a big fan of Bosch, B-O-S-C-H.
Hieronymus Bosch.
Yes, and the Garden of Earthly Delight. It's 500 plus years old, but sometimes you see modern art that is as quirky and weird and special as it was back then. And that fascinates me how
it doesn't matter
what time. And this was a period in the Low Countries where people could express themselves a bit differently than in other places in Europe.
Yeah.
And so you get great visual paintings that you won't find in Italy or France or
Hieronymus
Spain.
Bosch. When people look at Bosch, they usually think, what's he smoking, you know?
Yeah.
It's just so trippy. It's so far out. It's a mix of his interesting take on his Christian faith and what was going on at that time and the fantasies and the mysteries of life about 500 years ago. Now, that particular painting is a big triptych. It's a three-paneled altarpiece, the Garden of Earthly Delights, and it's in Madrid because back then, the Netherlands were called the Spanish Netherlands, ruled by the Spanish king. So a lot of the best Dutch and Flemish art would end up in the court of the king in Madrid. Jodi, what's your favorite piece of Dutch art?
There are so many good ones, but one I really enjoy is the Milkmaid of Vermeer, because it's so colorful, and then you can just... it's very lively. You can look back in time a little bit. Yeah.
You know, Jodi, there's only a handful of Vermeers in captivity. I mean, he's such an exquisite artist, but we only have 10 or 20 left, I think, anywhere. What is it about Vermeer that is so exquisite?
He manages to paint every detail, and also the way he captures light is unlike any other painter. Yes.
Oh. You can look at a Vermeer painting for a long, long time. And when you go to the Netherlands, you'll probably find more Vermeers per square inch than anywhere else in the world.
For sure.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been enjoying a little bit of Dutch and Flemish art with our tour guides, Jodi van Engelstorp and Nico Favoriel. Thank you both for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll hear what birds might be able to teach us humans in just a bit. But first, let's hear how you're dealing with putting your travel plans on hold this year. We're at 877-333-RICK, or by email, it's radio@ricksteves.com.